What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the show. Today, we're talking about dealing with low motivation to train. And as much as I feel like a lot of the discussion could be applied to other things, I'm going to keep it on topic, you know, low motivation when it comes to exercise and training. And so a quick roadmap, we're gonna normalize some stuff. We're going to have kind of a real chat about motivation quickly. And then we're going to go into the meat of the podcast, which is why you might have lost motivation or why you're feeling like you have lower motivation and what to do about it, depending on the answer to that question. And then I'll tell a little bit about my story. I have been dealing with low motivation to train, and I think I'm actually just on the other side of that. And so I'll speak to maybe how that happened for me, what I've done to kind of work through it, how I'm feeling right now, and maybe there's some things to learn about. Might be a little word vomity, and depending on where you are in terms of motivation, why you aren't feeling motivated, some things might stick more than others. The first thing I want to do is just normalize this. Like, normalize motivation coming in ebbs and flows. Some weeks, months, years, you're more motivated. Some weeks, months, years, you're less motivated. The idea that you just fall in love with training, feel motivated all the time, and that never wanes, it just is not a thing. And so we need to first and foremost remove the shame. If you are listening to this and you're not feeling motivated to train, there's guilt and shame that comes from that of, you know, a lot of I should feel motivated, I should do that. And it's just normal. It's normal. Everybody who exercises will go through periods where they're more motivated and less motivated. And it's normal. And so if you're feeling low motivated now and it's like, oh, I'm never going to have that uptick in motivation, that's not true. You know, beautiful things can happen when you're not to go too deep, but every emotion is happening for you, right? There's something to learn here. If you're not feeling motivated to train, there's something to dig out of that emotion. I don't want to go, I think if you're listening to this and you have a good therapist, I think it's a really good discussion to have. It's why you're not feeling motivated to exercise. And I think that that's a really good chat to have, one that I've had with my therapist and helped quite a bit. But I just want to normalize it and say, you're not alone. It's not weird. It's entirely normal. It is a 100% certainty that from the time you begin exercising till the time you die, you will go through periods where you are less motivated to do it. So no shame, no guilt, sit with that emotion, and we'll get to some of the maybe why this is happening in just a second. And the last thing I want to do before we get to that is differentiate between low motivation and maybe like low energy or low capacity or low batteries, you know? The first question I would ask is, am I really not motivated to train, or am I just not taking care of myself in other ways that are leading me to feel a bit beat up, right? Like, am I not sleeping well? I'm not eating well. I'm drinking. I'm not staying hydrated. I'm tired all the time. And when you are in that state, that low battery, that low energy state, yeah, you are maybe less motivated to train and maybe less motivated to do other things that are good for you. And I would think about that first. I do think that that can happen sometimes. You're like, oh, I'm not motivated to train. It's like, well, you might be if you were getting 8 hours of sleep and eating consistently enough quality, nutritious food and staying hydrated and not going out drinking on the weekends. And I think that sometimes taking care of your machine first will put you in a better headspace to maybe do other things that are good for you. So I would just check in on that first. It's like the first part of the flow chart. Is this low motivation, or is this like low recovery or low capacity or low batteries, etc.? Now, if you've decided it's actually low motivation, like I sleep fine, I eat fine, I'm doing fine, there is only one place to depart from, and it is asking yourself why. Why are you feeling a lack of motivation? And simultaneously in that is kind of what might help. Sometimes it's obvious, sometimes it's not. And just want to pause for a second. This idea of sitting down and asking yourself why and being introspective and journaling about it and talking to a therapist about it and talking to a friend about it, undistracted, no phone, no TV, by yourself, doing this kind of self inner work where you're just trying to chip away at an emotion to see what's there. People don't do this. Not enough people do this. I can imagine everyone listening is like, yep, oh, I'll ask myself why and I'll just figure it out. It's like, slow down. This is a Yeah, I guess where I'm coming from is I just think this is one of those things everybody will nod along with, but very few will do. And what is it that I'm talking about? I mean, actually sitting down and devoting some time to being introspective, whether that's journaling or therapy or phoning a friend, talking to a friend, whatever. Again, putting it out in writing, something where you're taking a second to sit with your own emotions and kind of inspect them. So again, it's not a rhetorical, ask yourself why. I'm actually suggesting you sit down and really ask. So in this upcoming section, I'm going to go through what some of those answers might be. I don't know. I tried to think of what I think some people might be going through and what some potential solutions might be. And maybe there's something in here that helps. And afterwards, kind of go through what's happened to me and how I've, again, maybe, or at least for now, come out the other end feeling pretty good. So again, I'm not going in like order of importance or order of likelihood. I'm going in order of what came out of my brain and then was typed out onto a sheet here. So the first answer might be like, are you not enjoying something about the training or the training style? Right? Like, I'm not motivated to train. I don't really like the exercises we're doing. Maybe I don't even like the type of training. Maybe you're doing CrossFit classes and you're not really enjoying how fast paced it is anymore. And you want to switch to more structured resistance training with longer rest periods. Or guess what? Maybe it's vice versa. Maybe you don't really like the solo workouts with longer rest periods, progressive overload. Maybe you want to turn your brain off and go do a CrossFit class or a different class or something. Again, maybe you just don't like the exercises you're doing or the rep ranges you're doing them or the tempo, like something about the training. And again, I think these are easy fixes. If you're like, hey, I'd be more motivated to do my training if we swapped out this for that and that for this and this for that, because I like those better. No brainer. This is the easiest one to fix, I think, on the whole list. It's like, make those changes, period. Sometimes it's a matter of doing something new, like a new machine, something you haven't done before, a bit of novelty. I think that, again, these are easy because I would say 100% go do that. Like 100% go do that. The next one is one that I hold near and dear to my heart. I think it's one that, whether you know it or not, might be one I would consider. And it's, are you training too much? Now, what is too much? It's either just you're training more than you would enjoy, like you just are training per session too long. Your sessions are 90 minutes, and after 45 minutes, you're kind of mentally checked out and it's just not fun anymore. Or you're training a number of times per week, and that's just too, it's such a high commitment that, you know, it's funny. As I was trying to figure out what is too much, because there's an opportunity cost to how you spend your time. So it's like, if I'm spending more time in the gym than I'd like to, I'm simultaneously saying that I'd like to be doing something else. So those two things are kind of the same. It's like, oh, I'm training more than I would enjoy. That's kind of simultaneously saying I'd rather be doing other things during a portion of that time. And I think that second part kind of resonates with me a bit more. You might be starting to resent the time that you're spending in the gym. It's like some of the time you're spending in the gym, you're thinking about other things you'd like to be doing, right? It could be being with your family. It could be more work. It could be a different type of training, right? But you're starting to secretly resent. I say secretly because it's not always very clear what's happening, but you're daydreaming about something else that you could be doing. You know, you're trying to get through your last couple of sets so you can go do blank, right? You're skipping that last exercise so you can get out the door, get back in your car, and go do blank. And I think that that's something that I see so often, which, you know, And in here, I'll bop around a little bit, but social media has warped our sense of fitness, right? Like we have a lot of like people who, I know a lot of people, I interact with a lot of people on social media who have this idea that you have to be training like 4 to 7 times a week, or you're not doing enough. Your sessions need to be more than 60 minutes. You're not doing enough. And if somebody is doing that, I'm not surprised that they start to resent some of that time. That's a huge, and think about it, it's an absolutely massive time commitment for a hobby, right? I say hobby not in a condescending way, but like you're almost certainly not a bodybuilder listening to this. And so this is a hobby that you're using for certain reasons. But I think social media has kind of warped our sense of what a reasonable time commitment is. And also, not just reasonable time commitment, but a reasonable like goal in terms of strength and physique, right? And so it's not only social media telling you you have to train quite a bit, but it's also telling you, hey, you have to train quite a bit because you have to look like this. And I think between the two of those, a lot of us set ourselves up for failure. I mean, I think of just, all of this podcast is my podcast, is my bias, and my opinion, as much as I try and be objective, will come through. And it's my opinion that by the way, PS, unless you love it, which I will hold that to the side, I have no clue how people train 5 days a week lifting weights. You know, and by the way, you might be listening to this show. I train 5 days a week and I love it. Well, then I'm not talking about you because you love it and I'm super pumped for you and you should keep doing it. But I just think that's a huge time commitment to a single exercise modality for which if you're just doing this to be healthy and look good, that's more than you'd need to. So in here also, I think is most people don't understand how productive they can be with less training. Right? Most people, when I say, hey, train less, by the way, I work with people all the time who come to me burnt out, who aren't enjoying their training as much. I'm like, yeah, you're training 4 times a week for 90 minutes. How about 3 times a week for 45 minutes? And the reason that that is met with a kind of a groan is that people don't think that that's that productive. And to that, I say, that's not true. I say, that's not true. You can be mega productive on 2 to 3 hours of training per week. You can be insanely productive. You can be strong and fit. You can look like you lift, right? You can't be a pro bodybuilder. You can't be a pro bodybuilder, but you can be strong and fit and extract basically all of the health benefits from resistance training in 2 to 3 hours a week. Maybe even less, right? 90 minutes to 3 hours. Again, we can talk about what percentage of the available benefits you want. I think you can get a really amazing health results at 1 hour a week. Of course it depends where on the spectrum of diminished returns from exercise that you want. But yeah, man, people, social media has turned us into a space of, I'm going to call myself include like Gen Pop non-bodybuilders who feel guilty for not training like bodybuilders. It's like, that's so dumb. Why? We're not bodybuilders and we're feeling guilty for not training like bodybuilders. Like, screw that, man. Like, you can be mega productive on 2 to 3 times a week. And if you're feeling low motivation on 4 to 6 times a week training, I kind of just think, yeah, I bet. You don't have time for anything else, right? You got to get motivated almost every day of the week. You got to get motivated with like most of your free time just to do this one thing. So I think for a lot of people, training less, I don't want to say is the answer, but I think would help. And I would say it would help for two main reasons. One is because you can kind of cure the resentment piece because you train less, you have time for other things. That could be, by the way, other types of training. It could be just other activities. You could work more. You could be with your family more. You could train, do something else. It also reduces the total motivation needed. It's like, the total amount of motivation you need to get into the gym 2 to 3 times a week is just lower than the total amount of motivation, or friction you'd have to overcome to get into the gym for 5 to 6 days a week. So you free up time for other things you want to do, which will reduce the resentment towards your training, which might make you more excited to train. Right? And you also don't need as much motivation. You don't have to overcome it as frequently. Right? And there's maybe a bit of absence makes the heart grow fonder. There's a bit of like, well, when I train a little bit less, I'm a little bit more excited for it. It's like if you eat your favorite meal every single night, it will lose its luster. It will lose, it won't taste as good. And so I would strongly consider training less. Now, you might be listening thinking, oh, I'm already training just twice a week and I still don't feel motivated. Okay, I might not, if you're already training what you believe to be the least that you'd like to, given your goals, that's one thing. But I would strongly consider training less. I think a lot of people also think, well, if I go from 4 days to 3 days or 3 days to 2 days, that's final, that's forever. It's not forever. That's just for right now. It could be for a week. It could be for one program. My group program has 2 day per week programs, 3-day-per-week programs and 4-day-per-week programs. And you can toggle between all of them. And I have people all the time message me and say, hey, things are really crazy right now, aka the holiday season. And it's been really great being able to go down to 3 days or go down to 2 days and free up some more time for other things. This whole podcast, by the way, the reason you're listening to this podcast is you know that exercise is so important that you need to do it even if you're not motivated. We are all here listening to this. I'm making this podcast. You're listening to this because we all know that exercise is so important that we have to do it, that we can't not do it ever and live our happiest, healthiest life, right? And so rounding down to zero just is not an option. And you can be super duper productive with very little training, again, if you structure it correctly. And so that's why those 2 and 3 day programs exist in my program. And I think you can be mega productive on 2 to 3 times per week if you have a good program and you train hard enough. But I just think this is always at the top of my list of things to consider. It's these first two things. Are there simple changes to the program we can make, exercises, rep ranges, that you would just enjoy more? Or are you just training? Can we go down to 3 days, go down to 45-minute workouts, go down to 30-minute workouts? You know, it'll require less motivation. It'll free up some time for other things. A little bit of absence makes the heart grow fonder, and I think that that's going to work for a lot of people. Some of the other ones that might come up, some of the other feelings that might come up, is that it's feeling inconvenient. And I use that word inconvenient, and the two things that come to mind when I think of convenience, well, in general, you know, you'll hear a lot, if you look at kind of people who talk about motivation a lot, they'll talk about reducing friction when it comes to behaviors. Reducing friction between you and behaviors that you want to do, and increasing friction between you and behaviors that you don't want to do. It's like, if I want to eat less cereal, I might put the cereal at the back of the pantry. Or it's the same reason that that eye level is the most sought after height of products in the supermarkets, because at eye level, that's the least amount of friction. That's where people are going to look the most. And so sometimes training can feel inconvenient, right? It's you got to drive there. You know, it's a big chunk of time out of your day. Other things that can be inconvenient might be the setup for certain exercises, right? And this goes back to the first one, like simple changes to the program to reduce the friction between you and getting started. You know, even little things like putting out your clothes the night before, right? Or making your pre-workout the night before and having it in the fridge. Like, things you can do to make that behavior more convenient are going to be very powerful here. One of the big ones that comes to mind for me is switching from training at a gym to training at home. Now, this isn't a podcast on the pros and cons of doing so, but the very obvious pro of going from the gym to home is that it's more convenient. I will tell you right this second, for me, not everyone, and I'm very lucky, by the way, and I do this for a living, so there's a rationale for me to have a home gym, but I don't know how I'd keep up training right now. Between trying to manage my business and be around with my wife and my kids, I don't know if I could get in the car, drive 15 minutes, train for an hour, drive 15 minutes home. You know, find a closer gym to your house. But, you know, again, I always feel very uncomfortable telling people to buy stuff. So, just buy a home gym. Like, of course, it's a ridiculous thing to say. But what I would say is, you know, maybe a pair of adjustable dumbbells and a bench. I can think of, I don't know, a third of my clients do a hybrid. They train in, a third of my one-on-one clients, they train at the gym, you know, 1 to 3 times, and they train at home, you know, 1 or 2 times. And the reason is, hey, I would love to make this training program as convenient as possible. And for me, training at home a couple times a week, those are going to be super convenient. And then when we go to the gym, we use only the equipment that I don't have at home. I have a couple of clients have seen that are jacked and fit, look great, strong. At home, we train with dumbbells and a bench. At the gym, we use the machines. And we have a great program that marries kind of a good stimulus from the machines with, again, a good stimulus, of course, but you know, with less equipment, but more convenient at home. And so, again, I don't want to be, just buy a home gym. That's not a thing. But you can get by with dumbbells and an adjustable bench. And you don't even need to have your whole program there. You might say, you know what? 1 or 2 days a week, I'm at home. 1 or 2 days, I'm at the gym. And that is so, you know, I have way more time on Saturdays. I'll go to the gym. I don't have as much time on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I'll train at home. And by the way, not to plug sorry for this, not to plug my program again, but you can do that in my program. You could just toggle on the 3-time per week home program and the 3-time per week gym program, and you could just do the ones that you want in the location that you're at. So I would give that some thought. Oh, there's a couple really good ones. Shoot. There's a couple other really good ones. Okay, next one is, have your goals secretly changed and your training approach is lagging behind? This one is massive. This one, I think, is fascinating. I'm going to describe a narrative here. I'm not saying this is everyone. I'm just, you know, this might resonate or part of it might resonate. We'll see. But sometimes, you get into exercising for a certain reason. And over time, you start to care less about that thing, but you're still exercising like you do, right? Your program is still designed as if you care about that thing. And so you're feeling disconnected with what you're doing because it's no longer aligning with your goals. You know, I will say, I'll talk a bit more. I see people all the time who are super mega focused on aesthetics. They want to grow the biggest glutes ever. And then, you know, they've been training like that for several years and maybe they have kids or they just get a little bit older or time just goes by, whatever. And those goals change. They're like, hey, I'm in school. I want to focus a little bit more on my career, but they're still in that same program that was designed for the biggest glutes on the planet, you know, training to maximize hypertrophy. And there's a period of time where your goals have changed kind of secretly in your mind. You haven't even, maybe it isn't even something you've thought about, but you're still training for that other goal. And I'll talk about how this one is absolutely describing me in a bit. You know, it's hard to let go of that part of you that wanted to be super mega jacked and decided to start training 4 to 5 times a week for 90 minutes, especially if you don't think you can still get strong with less. I think there's so much of the disbelief of what you can get with less training. I think that is so, you know, I am, again, it is my bias that a lot of the motivation problems come from the fact that you're training maybe more than you need to because you're trying to get somewhere that our society has told you you need to be. And I know that that's me taking a lot of leaps, and I don't mean to make so many assumptions. It's just from working with a lot of people, I think people are trying to look a certain way that society has told them they have to, that social media has told them they have to. And then in order to get there, they've been told somewhat logically that they have to train a lot. And that just doesn't match up with reality or what that person's going to find most enjoyable for their life, because they want to live a life where they do more than just spend it in the gym. And so I think a lot of these are intertwined. So I would secretly take a look if your program is still matching your goals, or have those goals subtly changed such that your programming should subtly change, or that you train less or you train more or whatever. And I just, this podcast is your permission to do that. It's your permission to admit to yourself that you don't want that thing anymore, that you don't actually want at all costs to get the biggest glutes on planet Earth, right? That you're like, well, that was once important to me, but it's not important to me right now, which, by the way, I will say again, it could be important to you again in the future. It could be something you pick up again in the future. But if it's not important right now, and you haven't changed your training to reflect that, there's going to be a disconnect between what you're doing and what you want. And, you know, you might want to address that. The next one is, are you dealing with low motivation because you're unhappy with your rate of progress? Now, I think there's almost always a reality check in order, right? Like, most of the time, people are unhappy with their rate of progress, not because their rate of progress is objectively bad, but it's because they have a distorted view of what their rate of progress should be. Now, this could be a calorie deficit. This could be rate of strength gains. This could be rate of physique change from muscle growth. These things happen slowly, right? I have people message me, hey, Jordan, I've plateaued on this lift. What should I do? And I'm like, okay, you know, when's the last time that you were able to add even just a rep? And they're like, oh, no, I added a rep last week. It's just that I used to add more. It's like, dude, you added a rep from last week? You know, that's incredible. That's not a plateau. You know, there isn't even an agreed upon plateau, but if you progress on something like a PR every month, I'm just going to say this right now. If you are doing 30-pound dumbbell presses for 8 to failure, and you progress 1 rep per month, it takes you a month to get that 9th rep and a month to get that 10th rep. You're going to add 12 reps by the end of the year. That 8 rep all out to failure set, now you can do 20. And that is if you progress with 1 rep per month. People are trying to progress at 1 rep per week. Right? Listen, my program, the way we progress is we try to progress a little bit per week. We don't expect to every week, but we try to. I have people all the time that, I'm plateaued on this lift. It's like, well, it's been, when's the last time? I haven't progressed in, a couple of weeks. It's like, no. No, that's not a plateau. Welcome to hard training. You know what I mean? Like, welcome to hard training. So I think people are like, I haven't lost, I plateaued in my fat loss. It's like, okay, how long have you stayed the same weight? They're like, well, I'm just losing at, 0.7 or 0.5 pounds per week or something. It's like, no, that's not a plateau. And so a lot of times the motivation that is lost with being unhappy with your rate of progress, most of the time, not always, some people are like, hey, I'm progressed on lateral raises in 8 weeks. It's like, okay, now that's something to look into for sure. Or I haven't lost weight in 6 weeks. It's like, okay, let's look into that for sure. I'm not saying it's always the other person's messed up or crazy kind of expectations of progress. Sometimes it's totally legit. But I do find often, because fat loss, muscle gain, strength, because they happen slowly, there's often a disconnect there where somebody's expectation is for this to go faster. And yeah, I bet it's not as motivating when you stop progressing every week, but progressing every week will not happen. You will not progress on everything every week, or you would be the strongest person on earth in a few years. It's just not how it works. It's important to have the right expectations so that you're not disappointed. The next one is something I talked about last week on the Marathon podcast, and I'll rehash it here, but if you want a bit more of a deep dive on this discussion, go listen to the last episode, kind of the second half of that episode if you'd like to. And it is, do you need more goals or more structure or less? Do you need more goals or less? Is a goal going to make this more fun or less? Is it going to be a net positive or negative pressure? Right? I think the word pressure is misunderstood. I think pressure, pressure makes diamonds. It's like, putting pressure on yourself is a good thing. Can be a good thing. It can be a bad thing, right? The wrong type of pressure in the wrong context for the wrong person will poison the enjoyment of something. But a little bit of pressure, putting a goal, putting something on paper, saying, I want to lift this many pounds, or I want to run a marathon, or I want to do my first 5K, or I want to, I have a goal of getting in the gym 3 times a week over the next month, is a goal going to, improve, right? A net positive form of pressure such that it enhances the experience, which is fancy for makes it more fun. And I put the word structure in here because sometimes, I just got a message from Kelly. Love you, Kelly. Kelly was saying, I listened to the last podcast and you were talking about this, and it made her think that maybe she should be taking her running more seriously. Maybe she should add more structure, right? She should track more biometrics or biomarkers and her pace and heart rate and, do all these things that would add more structure. And she said, I was thinking about it and I decided that right now that would not help and I would not like that. And for me, running, the way that I'm going to keep doing it and have the most fun with it right now is by not having that structure. So I think asking that is important. If you're someone who's not on a program, who's not tracking his or her workouts and trying to progress, will that help? And if you've never tried it, maybe try it. But if you are somebody who's been like ruthlessly keeping a workout log, and there's a lot of this that transitions to tracking calories too, But it's slightly, I guess, slightly different. But let's focus on the training side. If you've been ruthlessly keeping a logbook, tracking every workout, trying to progress, like sometimes it's nice to treat it a little bit more like a playground where you're just going into the gym, you know, not doing BS, but maybe not following such a strict program, maybe not tracking what you're doing. I would recommend if you do that to still focus on your sets being hard and maybe follow some form of a template for creating a logical workout. It's not hard to do, you know, if you're trying to train full body and grow all your muscles at once or grow all your muscles, like maybe do a push, a pull for upper and lower and voila, you're done. But I think that that can be something that you really do think about. Would a more specific goal help? Would more structure help? Would taking it more seriously help? Or would taking it less seriously help? Having more relaxed type of fun. And I think that that's an interesting, it's interesting that this came up in two podcasts in a row, because I do think this can be a big one for people. It's like, hey, how am I going to, like, again, I'm going to repeat it. We're all here. I'm making this podcast. You're listening to this podcast because we all know that exercising for the rest of our lives is what we want to do. And periodically or chronically, having more or less structure and pressure and goals can be helpful or harmful, right? Depending on what, you know, scenario and the person and all that jazz. Now, one of the things that I think can increase the floor of your behaviors, what I mean by that is like help you not stop training altogether, is a better connection with your deeper or long-term goals. Now, this is not sexy. It's hard. It's hard to focus on the fact that exercise is amazing for stress and sleep and anxiety and energy and mood and, you know, cognition long-term and fighting disease long-term and being, it's not sexy to say, hey, you want to play with your grandkids and you want to get up from the toilet and you want to go for that hike. It's not as sexy as I want to build that six pack. I want to build those glutes. I want to hit this RDL PR. It's not as sexy, but I don't want to tell people what to do, but it almost certainly is something you should be connecting with more. Is it going to carry you through the next 50 years and have you always enjoying your training? I don't know, but you know, for me, and again, I don't want to judge or I don't want to tell you what to do. For me, I think about the person I want to be. I want to be the person who continues to exercise. No matter if I'm low motivation or not, I'll figure out a way to do something. And so for me, that's helped me not do nothing. That's what I mean by increase the floor, increase the worst possible outcome. For me, the worst possible outcome that I foresee in my near to moderate future is training twice a week for 30 minutes. I would, by connecting with those long-term goals, and I'll talk about what those for me are in a bit, I know that I won't stop training altogether. Now, small caveat here, I have nothing against short breaks, right? You could take a week off, take 2 weeks off, take a month off. It's not going to impact your very long, it's not going to impact anything if you just get back to training. Sometimes that is a great idea, by the way. I recommend my clients, if they're taking a deload, to at least consider just taking some time straight up out of the gym. I think that can be helpful. But at some point, this has got to also be about the quality of life stuff. And I know me just yelling at you about it to like, hey, you should care about this, will only go so far. But sometimes you need someone to, you know, grab you by the lapel and just shake some sense into you. I think sometimes it just helps to hear. So we'll pivot to the next part of this podcast, the last part, which is basically a bit about what I've been going through. I'll keep it short-winded here. I won't go too deep into it, but because I think it's a lot of examples of what we just talked about. I will be honest with you. The last maybe 2 years, I have lost my enjoyment for lifting quite a bit, like a lot. And I'll say something I'm very proud of, is over those 2 years, I haven't missed a workout. Now, of course, I've missed a workout traveling, et cetera. But like in my heart, I feel like I haven't missed a workout. Every workout that I could do, I did do. There wasn't a workout where I just decided not to do it. And I'm very proud of those two things, again, being simultaneously occurring, where I have felt no motivation to lift, but happened to miss the training session. Now, I've thought about why. So I want to talk about why I lost motivation and talk about how I've been able to keep going. But, you know, spoiler, it's a lot of things we just talked about. So I really, again, worked on this a bit in therapy and started asking why. Why was I losing motivation for lifting? And there were a couple of reasons, at least three reasons that we'll talk about. The first is that I wanted to do other things. This started when I was playing soccer in Texas. You know, I was playing in a couple of leagues. I had a couple of good friends, and I wanted to get better at soccer. I wanted to play, but I also wanted to train a little bit for it. And I was lifting 4 to 5 times a week. This was my best shape I had been in a long time. I was training 4 to 5 times a week. I was like, 200 pounds lean. And I looked great. And that was important to me then. And so I was struggling with my enjoyment for lifting because I wanted to do something else with my time and my energy. And I didn't have that time or energy or whatever. It didn't feel like doing more on top of that 4 to 5 times a week. The word that always comes to mind is I was starting to resent the time I was spending in the gym because my mind was elsewhere. I wanted to do something else. You know, there were days where I tried to lift and go play soccer or lift and run. And of course people do that. I know I'm sounding like a little baby. I freaking hate two-a-days. I'm not someone who cares about elite levels of fitness. That if you want elite levels of fitness, you're going to have to do two-a-days. You're going to have to train for more than one thing a day and not every day all the time, but like I'm not interested in that level of fitness. I'm not interested in training twice a day to make the most of multiple modalities. I'm not interested in that. And so I was starting to resent the time I was spending lifting. The second reason is I just stopped caring about getting more jacked. My priorities were changing. There was a time maybe a year prior that I got some health. I made a podcast about it and I just talked about it with cognition dietitian Barbie, and that I am ApoE4 homozygous. Not important. If you're interested in what that is, go listen to the podcast with Barbie Bowles. Or I have another podcast called "I'm at a Higher Risk for Alzheimer's." Here's what I'm doing. I'll put them both in the description if you're interested in. But basically, it's a risk marker for Alzheimer's disease, and I'm at much higher risk, like a 12 to 15 times higher risk. And there were just some things that between that and I knew we wanted to have a baby, I just stopped caring about getting more jacked, and I couldn't connect to training that much because you only train that much if you want to be jacked. And I just needed to connect to the deeper reason I was lifting or I wasn't going to be able to go into the gym at all. And so for me, what are those deeper reasons that I'm lifting? In no particular order. Number one is so that I can continue to walk the walk and live it, right? This is what I do for work. I help others get fit and healthy. And if I just stop lifting, I'll lose the connection to that thing. And, you know, continuing to train helps me continue to troubleshoot problems for myself that will help me be a better coach. So I don't need to be jacked to be a better coach, but I need to keep living the life, walking the walk, talking the talk, doing the things. And so that was a motivating factor for me. I said, hey, I know I don't care about getting more jacked, but I need to keep doing this thing because it's a thing I love teaching and I know the benefits of it. And I want to make sure I'm still in it. I'm still practicing it, you know? The second was to just set a good example for my children. I want my kids to grow up seeing mom and dad train and get strong and move their bodies and celebrate what their bodies can do. And that's such a saying that, like people I think it cringes people out. Like celebrate what your body can do. Like, no, it's true, dude. Like be excited about the things your body can do. Be excited about being physically independent because you don't have that forever. And number three was on a short term to feel my best day to day. Like I have less anxiety when I'm consistently training. I sleep better when I'm consistently training. Yes, training is tiring, but it's tiring in the short term and energizing in the long term. Getting fitter requires you to do things that are tiring in the short term, but give you energy in the long term. And so I know that I don't feel my best when I take many days off in a row. Right? I feel my best when training is a part of my life. Number four, to fight physical and cognitive decline long-term. Like I joke about this. I'm terrified of that. And I say terrified, meaning like I'm cognizant of it and really, really want to push that date off as far as possible. And I'm probably even more afraid of the cognition piece, again, because of a predisposition for Alzheimer's and seeing what Alzheimer's has done to people in my family. It's tough. And I think about that. I'm like, dude, you can't stop lifting. You got to stay in good shape, not in an orthorexic obsessive way, but you can't quit doing those things is what I'm saying. And the last one is, I might not love lifting or running, right? But with those things at stake, meaning like I guess this is kind of what I just said, which is that it's not that I'm going to take these things so seriously because of all this. I'm just not going to stop. And that's the example I'd want to set for my daughter. It's good for me. I'm going to do it anyway. I might modify it, how much I'm doing it, the type of thing I'm doing, but I'm going to keep doing it because it's good for me. I might not love lifting or running. And frankly, I got to be honest, I don't really love either right now. But with these things on the line, meaning how I feel day to day, setting a good example for my kids, walking the walk so I continue to learn how to help others, and fighting physical and cognitive decline long term, feeling my best day to day, I'm never going to stop. I'm going to keep doing it. Now, I'll take periodic breaks. You know, of course, I'll take rest days. I'll take longer breaks. But I'm never going to stop. And I feel really good about that for myself. The last thing I will say is, you know, I'm very privileged. I have a lovely home gym that I've invested quite a bit into. Just I will say what I'm about to say with the understanding that it will sound a smidge privileged, is that I was getting bored of my equipment. My home gym's awesome. It's awesome. But one of the benefits of going to the gym is you have more toys. You're bored of that machine. You're bored of this one. No, this is a different one. Try that one, right? And I had the same program. I mean, you guys think we keep this stuff similar in the group. I was on the same program for over a year, verbatim, because there just weren't that many exercises I was enjoying. And so the pool of exercises that I was enjoying was shrinking and shrinking and shrinking to the point where this was my program and any deviation meant I was enjoying it less. So I was doing the same thing for a very long time. And I said to Jenna, I said, I think I'm going to sell some stuff and buy some different stuff. I don't want to spend a ton extra. I don't want to just buy a bunch of stuff, but I'll sell my sled. Maybe we sell our dumbbells and we get an adjustable pair and we make some money that way. And then we spend that extra money on a row or a Smith machine or something just to inject a little novelty. Again, very privileged that I'm able to do that, but I do think we can do this on a micro level with a new pair of shoes or a pre-workout supplement that you get excited to take in the morning to work out, or a pair of wrist straps, right? Or a pair of wrist cuffs, some little knick-knack, right? That just sparks a little bit of, oh, I'm excited to use that thing. That gets just the thing that might give you just the tiny, that last straw that breaks the camel's back worth of motivation to get started. And so, yeah, I mean, if you have the means, you have the availability, you're, of course, if you're in a gym, hopefully you have enough toys. Even talking to the people who own the gym, be like, hey, like I remember when we owned our gym, but before we owned our gym, when I was working at a gym, the owner was really good at this. About every year, he would sell one or two pieces of equipment and buy one or two new ones. And I think that really did help. It always kept kept something fun for the clients and ourselves to play with. So that's something to think about. So hopefully this podcast gave you something to think about. Maybe we covered some of the reasons that you might be feeling low motivation to train. And I can't stress this enough. If you take anything from this podcast, it's setting aside some time to explore that emotion and know that that emotion isn't a bad thing, that it's going to lead you to doing something good for yourself, even if sometimes it's hard, right? You have to let go of certain things that you wanted to move towards the things you are finding out that you really want. And it could be hard. It can be hard. Introspection, self-talk, growth, and evolution are hard. But if you take nothing from this podcast, take this, nothing else, is find some time to sit with that emotion of why you are feeling low motivation. Be absolutely 100% honest and transparent around why you're feeling that way, and you will find some answers. All right, see you guys in the next one. Have a good week. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Where Optimal Meets Practical. If you liked the episode, it would mean the world to me if you posted a screenshot to your social media or left a 5-star review on iTunes. That stuff really helps. If you ever want to get in touch with me, just shoot me a DM on Instagram @JordanLipsFitness. I'm always around to chat. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.